And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. I want to talk to you today, my friends, about something that has really been bothering me and really just giving pain and anguish to my heart. And I would appreciate so much if you're led to, if you could get a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil and take down some Bible verses I'm going to be giving you today. Because I'm convinced these are the last days, and America is in great peril and jeopardy. And frankly, I'm sorry to say it, but we deserve to be. We have abandoned God. We have loosed because of our actions and behaviors. I believe we have loosed the very devils of hell to inhabit this country and possess even our very children. You know, in the book of Revelation, we find that there are letters written to various churches by the Spirit of God. And one of them says that because you have fallen for the false prophecies of that woman Jezebel, God warns that particular church. He says, I will kill your children with death. Jezebel was a sign in the Bible. She was a real woman, very wicked, a painted woman. She never could have enough, and she persuaded her husband to kill the just man and take his land. Jezebel, the very name has gone down in history as a wicked woman. I don't know what you'd call her today, just a very, well, perverse, devilish, certainly sexually crooked person. But I don't want you to think that it's only the women we're going to be talking about today. Because, friends, it is we men, yes, we men, who should be leaders of this country and of our church and of our homes. But we have given over to the spirit of Jezebel. We are led by the spirit of Jezebel, and we are the worst for it. But I want to talk to you about more. There is a great falling away from the truth today. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it says that just before the son of perdition himself, the Antichrist, comes, there will be a great falling away. And then he, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, the beast, 666, oh, so many titles of this evil monster leader, he will be revealed. And we're seeing a great falling away. And some people say, how can it happen? Because it seems to have happened in our very lifetime. Things were not like this 50, 40, 30 years ago, were they? I want to talk to you today about the condition of America, the condition of the church, and the things going on in our society that are so evil and so full of witchcraft. The spirit of deception has invaded. And I was thinking about our nation's leadership today, and, you know, I was saying, I wonder how I can explain it to the people. And I remember the old song that we used to sing as kids. And, you know, it's really not a nice song. You don't want to teach it to your kids. But we used to sing it when we were little kids. Three blind mice, see how they run. They all ran up to the farmer's wife. She cut off their heads with a carving knife. Have you ever seen such a thing in your life as three blind mice? Reminded me of our Supreme Court, our president, our Congress. Three blind mice. See how they run. You know, over in Spain, they have what they call the running of the bulls. And the bulls run through the city and the people run with them. And many people are trampled and run over. And it gives them a great thrill to put their very lives in jeopardy as these bulls run through these narrow cobblestone streets. Yes, in Spain, they have the running of the bulls, but we have the running of the psychopaths in America. Recently, I did a program here, as you know, if you listen to this program every week. And it was entitled Churches and Pastors Gone Wild. It was volume 6. So this wasn't the first time I addressed this issue. But I talked about the wickedness going on in churches. The church in Philadelphia, where a black woman pastor has been handing out condoms, and they've been taking gobs of them. She has a big box, and she goes and just gives out the condoms to the people. And boy, they snatch them up. Girls, women. And if that weren't enough to promote promiscuity and sexual sin, right there in the aisles of the church, this so-called woman pastor gave a sermon to the people in which she said this is just like Holy Communion. When you share your bodies through sex, it's like partaking of Holy Communion. You're communing with the other person. Oh, my. Oh, my. What blasphemy is this? Then there's the woman, I believe it's in Phoenix, Arizona, Pastor Nadia Boltz Weber. I think it's in Phoenix, isn't it? Denver. Thank you, Jerry, correcting me there. Denver, Colorado. She's pastor. She's a Lutheran woman pastor. Tattoos. One of them looks like a flying serpent on her arm. She looks like a biker chick or whatever you want to call it. They say her sermons, so-called, are full of profanity. She says that Judas is not in hell. There is no hell. She welcomes homosexuals, lesbians, to her church. She appears to be one. She doesn't welcome them so that they can be led to the Lord and eradicate the sin and the festering evil out of their lives and to clean up their lives. Because she doesn't see anything wrong with homosexuality, nor do the people who go to that church. Then, of course, we've talked about a man named Todd Bentley, who is praised, adored, and seen as a great prophet and a great faith healer by those in the charismatic movement today. And this Todd Bentley has tattoos all over his body. He dresses also like a biker with boots. He kicks people in their posterior. He screams out profanities. He claims he speaks with angels. And horrible things occur in the churches where he speaks, down in Florida. Now he's over, I understand, over in Great Britain and Scotland. He's been invited to bring his evil apostasy over there. Meanwhile, for President of the United States, it looks like we may well elect a Mormon. A Mormon. What is the Mormon Church? Now, folks, you need to get my book, New Age Cults and Religions. What is it? It's a devil church. And the Mormon temples are Mormon temples of the dead. And they do things there they will not allow you to go in and see. That's right. You cannot go and see their endowment ceremonies. For one thing, a man and a woman are endowed together forever, married forever, supposedly, in a celestial marriage. And one of the parts of the ceremony is the woman is required to take all of her clothes off and have her body examined, her naked body. Is that what you would like, young man? to have your young bride taken to a room all alone, to have her body violated. That's what they do in those Mormon temples, and it's only one thing they do. In Isaiah 29, verse 15, it says, "Woe unto them that seek to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us? Who knoweth us?" Well, God sees you, Mormon. What do they do in those temples? They baptize. But it's not just the living that are baptized, they baptize the dead. And in Mormon temples across the world, they have baptized probably over 1 billion dead people. Folks, in Hebrews, it says very clearly, it is appointed for a man once to die after the judgment. Don't think you're going to be baptized and saved after you die. Like the Mormons and their temples of the dead. That's what they are. And other things I could tell you about the Mormon church, but we bought into it. And we think this man is a Christian and he's a wonderful, loving father. Oh yeah. That's why when he gets in office, you wait and see. Is he pro-life or pro-abortion? Wait and see. Is he pro-homosexual or pro-Bible lifestyle? Wait and see. You'll find out what this man is. Ann Romney, his wife, recently interviewed on Entertainment Tonight. She was asked what her favorite TV program is. She said Modern Family. That's the one that has the homosexual couple. She said she was thrilled about that show, Modern Family. It's a sick, disgusting TV show. Ann Romney's thrilled about it. Mitt Romney was recently asked, has he changed his views about homosexuals becoming scout leaders and leaders in the Boy Scouts of America organization? He said no. He still thinks it's perfectly okay for homosexuals to be scout leaders. Is that what you want, dear Christian friend? For homosexual perverts to be in charge of your little kid, even on weekend camping trips and so forth? Is that what you want? Well, that's what Mitt Romney says is just fine with him. And I don't even want to get into Barack Obama. We could go there and stay there for days talking about it. It's not a matter of party. It's a matter of their dark hearts. I was very sad to read an article this last week about megachurch pastor. That's what they call him, Joel Osteen. He was on a CNN program, CNN's Talking Points, with Soledad O'Brien. Of course, she's about as liberal as you can get. And these liberals, when they can get you as a pastor or a Christian leader and embarrass you, they love it. And boy, did she ever get Joel Osteen. Now, he's the guy that, you know, he has 50,000 people come to his church every weekend in Houston, Texas, have a gigantic arena there where they have their services, and they're broadcast nationwide, and his books always hit number one on the New York Times bestsellers list, and he's into all this prosperity stuff and, you know, word of faith, and, you know, God wants you, only the good for you. Nothing bad can ever happen to you. That's what he says. Let me read to you the first line of this. It says, Texas mega church pastor Joel Osteen squirmed under a barrage of questions about his beliefs on homosexuality during a discussion on CNN's Talking Points with Soledad O'Brien last Thursday. This was September 27th. The conversation began as a discussion between Osteen and New Age self-help guru, the Hindu Deepak Chopra, about the importance of positive thinking, but then abruptly turned to homosexuality. Well, CNN host O'Brien explained to Osteen, almost every time we have a pastor on, a Christian pastor, it's a conversation we have. Oh, she knew she had him. She knew she had him. And then she said, Christians call homosexuals sinners, gay people sinners. But you say you like to uplift people. I would think that would be the very opposite of uplifting, she said, for you to say that homosexual people are sinning. Well, Soledad, Joel Osteen answered, I don't necessarily focus on that. In fact, I only talk about that in interviews. In other words, I don't even talk about that in my church. The only time I ever talk about homosexuality is when somebody asks me about it in interviews like this. So he was basically saying, we never talk about sin and things like that in my church, especially homosexuality. Well, Soledad O'Brien wasn't finished. She saw she had him. She saw the guy was squirming like a lily-livered coward. So she asked if he thought he had an important voice to lend to the public debate about homosexuality. Here's what Osteen answered. He said, quote, I think part of my, if you want to call it success, is that I've stayed in my lane. And my lane is lifting people's spirits. And there are good Bible-believing people, see, on both sides of the fence regarding homosexuality. Did you get that? Did you hear what Osteen said? The number one best-known pastor in America. 50,000 people go to his church. His books are huge bestsellers across the world. And he says there are good Bible-believing people on both sides of the fence. I didn't know that God allowed people to sit on both sides of the fence. I thought that you had to make a decision to serve God. But that's not what Osteen says. And he says, I stay in my lane. Yeah, he stays in his lane. But O'Brien wasn't finished. She kept pressing the issue. And then another panelist there, a gay rights activist, he was set up because they knew the guy was a coward. A gay rights activist, Richard Securities, asked him again, you know, don't you think that Christians should quit, you know, doing these things, abusing homosexuals and calling them sinners? Osteen answered, he says, well, I know this. I don't understand all those issues. And so, you know, I try to stick to the issues that I do understand. I know this. I'm for everybody. I'm not for pushing people down. He said he doesn't understand the homosexual issue, but he doesn't push people down. He sticks to the issues that he understands. So he doesn't understand that a man and a woman only should marry. He doesn't understand that marriage is ordained by God and only between a man and a woman occurred in the Bible. Osteen doesn't understand that a man and a man in bed together, not married, not nothing, or whether they are married or not, what does it matter, are just demon-possessed doing what they're doing. He doesn't understand. He doesn't understand when the Apostle Paul said the effeminate, that is the homosexual, will not enter the kingdom of heaven. Joel Osteen doesn't understand. Anyway, unlike Paul, he's not for pushing people down. Well, Albert Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Seminary, Louisville, Kentucky, at least he had the courage, after Osteen's great performance, sure. Pastor Moeller of the Southern Baptist Seminary said that CNN and O'Brien had established the perfect platform for Osteen to respond with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Osteen did not. This is what Moeller said. He said, viewers of CNN saw a display of confusion, evasion, and equivocation coming from a man presented as a Christian pastor. What they were really seeing, writes Moeller, what they were really seeing is the total theological bankruptcy of the Word of Faith movement and the gospel of positive thinking. But let me tell you something, Mr. Moeller, president of Southern Baptist Seminary. This isn't just coming. This is not just a bankruptcy of the Word of Faith movement and the gospel of positive thinking. There are hundreds and hundreds of Southern Baptist churches across America, and many of them are led by pastors that you, yes, you, gave a theological degree from your Southern Baptist Seminary at Louisville, Kentucky, and they're out there preaching that homosexuality is perfectly okay. I think you ought to strip them of their theology degree. Let's see some courage from you there at Southern Baptist Seminary. Meanwhile, I see a study here. Just came out. CBS study. Says the number of gay and bisexual TV characters is the highest ever. The level, in other words, the number of gay and bisexual TV characters on TV shows, scripted broadcast network TV, is the highest ever. The Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation said they're happy about it. They're thrilled about it. homosexuality is part of the vulgar, coarse devil movement across America. Just today, I read on the internet a story out of Orlando, Florida, of a couple, nice-looking young couple, probably about 30 years old, man and a woman, went to a restaurant in Orlando. They decided to have sex right there. Took their clothes off, got right on top of a table, and started having sex right there in the restaurant. There were children eating there with their families. I mean, this is America. This is happening in America. It happened in Orlando. Well, what happened to the couple? The manager was told about it. He came over and asked them to stop, and they said no. They kept doing what they were doing. The police came. Turns out, though, that no one was willing to be a witness against them. You get that? You're sitting there, mom and dad, and you got your children, and over the table next door, they're doing this thing right there on the table in front of your children, and you're too cowardly to even file a complaint against them. The police said we can't have any charges filed against them because nobody will be a witness. Wow. All the witnesses declined to provide statements to police. So the manager of Patty Murphy's is Orlando Eatery. What can they do? A couple will probably come back and do it again. And why not? This is America. These kind of things happen all over America. Meanwhile, I was mentioning that the cross of Jesus, is being taken down from churches across America. Went to one of the largest churches here in Austin not too long ago for a program, and I noted it was just like a movie theater. There's no cross. There's no sign that it was a church. Didn't even have hymnals. Nothing. Said they didn't want to offend people by erecting a cross. I got a letter from Ron. Ron, you know who you are. Sent me a nice email. He said, Tex, about what you were saying about the cross offends these pastors. Say the cross offends their audiences, so they remove the cross from their churches. They're not Christians, these pastors. You think they are? No, they're not. Some people say, Tex, why are you so hard? Why are you so cruel? Why are you so mean and vicious? Listen, folks, I care about people who are sent to hell for eternity. You know, somebody said to me, they wrote me a nice letter and said, why don't you pray for people more? Why don't you pray for the murderers? Why don't you pray for the blasphemers? Why don't you pray for the rapists, the molesters? Listen to me, dear folks. Listen to me. I'll pray all right. I'll pray that an abyss open up right here on earth and just suck these monsters right into it. Let me tell you who I pray for. I pray for the children who are molested. I pray for the young women who are raped by rapists. I pray for people who have their throats cut and their survivors, their family, whose hearts are broken. Those are the ones I pray for. I pray for the victims. I don't pray for the man going to the gas chamber, the electric chair, what do they have now? Lethal injection. I pray for the family of those who he's murdered. I don't pray for this Peterson character up in the Midwest that killed two or three of his wives. I pray for their families. You can spend all your time if you want to. There's nothing wrong with prayer. I encourage it. If God leads you, if the Holy Spirit leads you to pray for that monster, you do it. I pray that he'll be taken out of commission as soon as possible and put to death and get what he deserves. And until the very day when they hit him with the needle in his arm and kill him through lethal injection, through the legal process, he has the right, the responsibility to repent of his sins and receive the kingdom of God. But very few do. I bet you cannot count on your fingers every year those people who go to their death who even say they're sorry. Most of them don't even admit it. They're a bunch of psychopaths, and they're glad they did what they did. These people are not even human species. And then there are people suffering for their faith. You think I shouldn't pray for them? Here's a news item. a student from Eastern Michigan University, was being trained to be a counselor. She went through almost all of her courses, and right at the end, they knew what they were going to do. You see, she was a Christian girl. So she had worked very hard, and she was going to be earning a degree in counseling, a master's degree, in fact. And as I said, her name is Julia Ward. She's a Christian. And they said, one of the things you need to do is we're going to put you in a counseling situation with somebody, and we're going to have one of our professors to grade you on it. Okay, that's no problem. I mean, she was getting her master's degree in counseling, wasn't she? That should be no problem. So they gave her a person to counsel. Of course, they made it up, but they said, you know, we have a case for you. Here's the situation. This person is a homosexual that's confused about their homosexual gender or whatever. And they want advice regarding their homosexual relationships. And you're to counsel them that it's okay to be a homosexual. They can continue in what they're doing. And that's what your job is, a counselor. She said, no, I can't do that. I will counsel them, but I'll have to use my Christian beliefs. Why? She explained nicely that as a Christian, she cannot condone homosexual behavior. Well, the university came against her. They had a faculty committee that met and said, we cannot have you get a counseling degree from this university, Eastern Michigan University, which, by the way, is paid for by state funds of the people of Michigan, tax funds. They said, we can't have you going out there and counseling people that homosexuality is wrong or is hurtful or harmful. She said, but that's what I believe as a Christian. They questioned her about her faith, and they said, regardless of your faith, we can't give you a master's degree. We can't let you go out in the public and be a counselor unless you agree to go to homosexual sensitivity training. You agree to go to training to learn the new rules that homosexuality is good and that you can counsel people likewise. Miss Julia Ward said, I can't do that. Friends, these people accuse her of being intolerant. They are the ones that are intolerant of her Christian beliefs. They're refusing to give Miss Julia Ward her degree. In fact, she's been expelled from her university. She had no problem in passing all the courses, all the work. But she could not counsel that homosexuality and those relationships were good for human beings. She couldn't do that. Why? Because God said they're not. And they told her, we don't care about your God. You've got to do what the devil wants. That's really what they were saying. They didn't use those words. That's what it was, though, isn't it? We believe in the devil's philosophy, and you'll have to practice the devil's philosophy, or we'll expel you from this tax-supported college institution. And so they did. This is America, folks. This is the new America. This is what we're facing. Now, when we return in just a minute, I want to talk about this new America. How did it get this way? How are we able to have a candidate for president who baptizes for the dead, who believes that God is a flesh and blood and bones man who came down from a planet named or star named Kolob and had physical sex with Mary, and from that Jesus was born, and that Jesus has many wives and had three wives when he was here on earth. Three wives and sex with them while he was on earth. And that's exactly what Mitt Romney believes, because that's what the Mormons teach. And he was a bishop. He was a pastor in the Mormon faith, he says. And he's going to be president, this cult leader. And you think that's okay? I'll be right back after this brief message. Stay with us. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy, and I'm discussing today the demonic cloud over America. Hello again, Tex Mars here. You know, I'd like to thank those of you who have given to this ministry. Love gifts that have kept us going all these many years. We've been here over a quarter of a century now. Some people said, well, boy, with that hard preaching you do, Tex, you're not going to last at all. Somebody told me many years ago that if I didn't charge for our newsletter, I go bankrupt. Well, I still don't charge for our newsletter. You can go to our website, and I don't charge for anything on it. And I don't write letters to you begging for money all the time. Have you noticed that? I send out a free newsletter once a month, those people who want to receive it. And, of course, we have it on our website, powerofprophecy.com. But I don't ever call you. Have I ever called you and said, we need money right now, give or else? No. Did I ever say, hey, we're going to be off the air, we're going to lose our radio shows if you don't give right away? No, I don't do that. I haven't done it. That doesn't mean we don't need help. We do. It's just that I believe that the Holy Spirit will inspire those of you who love what we're doing. And you know, if you can find someone else that is doing what we're doing, then good. Then support them. We're 100% for God. And then America comes in there after that. Okay? Now, a lot of people don't like that. They want to put America first. Some people put Israel first. Not me. Not Tex Mars. God always comes first. He's my boss. He's the big boss, let me tell you. I do what he says. And it would be advisable, my dear friends, for you to do what he says too. And you know, it makes me happy when I do what he says. He makes me happy. He gives me everything that I want. What do I want? Well, I come here to this building. We don't have a big fancy skyscraper here. We don't, Jerry, you know, we scrape the bucket sometime, and we try to get everything done as cheap as we can. We change printers if we can't get a bargain from one to keep our newsletter going. And you try to go online and see if we can get an internet provider that'll give something cheaper to us. We do the best we can as good stewards of God's money. And friends, when you give to this ministry, I want you to understand something, that you're giving to God. Now, a lot of you gave to our Texas Children's Homes project this year. And I'll tell you, we had enough, not only to help these children in many different ways. But the one thing I like is when the school year started, we were able to buy them school supplies, a satchel, things they needed essential for school. I remember when I was a kid, I didn't have any of that stuff. I tell you, I'm not going to complain about it, but I would go to school and I didn't have any paper to write on. I didn't have any pencils, didn't have any crayons. And I certainly didn't have one of those nice satchels. And I'd have to beg the other kids. And some kids would be really mean about it. Well, why don't you have your own pencil? Why don't you have your own crayons? Well, it's because I couldn't afford them. I didn't have that. It wasn't my fault. That was my family. They were poor. They didn't have it. A lot of people didn't understand that. Some people didn't understand I wore the same shirt and pair of jeans to school every day. First grade, second grade, third grade. When it got dirty, I washed it myself. I put it in front of the stove. You turn them on the stove and put a chair there and dry my shirt out that night, wash it by hand. Had one shirt and one pair of jeans. That's what I had. One pair of shoes. And sometimes they had holes in them and I'd put cardboard, you know, trying to keep the water out, but it didn't work. It just came right up into my socks when I had socks. Sometimes I didn't have any socks to wear. And boy, that was embarrassing. I'd try to pull down my pants legs so people couldn't see that I wasn't wearing socks. I was very poor, and I remember that. And I was very pleased to give these children. We've had letters from these kids, and you don't know what it means to them to have these school supplies. A lot of schools don't give them stuff. I mean, my school didn't give us any supplies. We had to buy it on our own. And I don't know why these schools expect these kids to have all these things. And they embarrass them sometime. I mean, a teacher chewed me out one time. Why didn't you bring your crayons to school? I didn't want to say I didn't have any money to buy any. So I just stood there and took everything she dished out to me. And she called me every name in the book, it seemed like, because I didn't have crayons. She thought it was just forgetfulness, that I was just, well, I just didn't care. But I did care. Well, that's why It means something when you help these kids at the Texas Children's Home. Many of them have never had anything except a father that abused them. Many of their fathers are now in prison. Drug dealers. Their mothers got into drugs too. And now they're at this home. And you have the ability to help them. And you are. And we gave more this year than we've given any other year because of your goodness. Well, means a lot, and I appreciate it. Then you help our employees with finished up with Employee Appreciation Month in September, and you gave to that too to help our employees who, believe me, are worth a lot more than they get in the small salary that we can give them. And I appreciate them and what they do, serving the Lord. Now listen, I'm not crying. I got plenty of food to eat. I've got a nice shelter. You know, I got a car to drive. I'm just doing just fine. But I think, you know, the Bible says that pure religion is to help widows and orphans. Think about that. Pure religion is to care for the widows and the orphans. So our Children's Home Project is an important thing. And so when you give to it, I want you to know again, not one penny goes to so-called administrative cost. It all goes toward the kids and the children's home. Every penny of it. We don't take out anything for our administrative cost. God is going to take care of us just fine. In fact, I want to thank you because we have been just fine. We've just been fine. I know we could do a lot more if we had more, but that's okay. You know, it's like the fishes and the loaves. Whatever we have, Jesus seems to amplify, and we're able to do so much that is absolutely, it seems like it would be impossible that we accomplish so much. And we're going to keep doing that as long as we're here until Jesus Christ comes again. Okay, that's all I wanted to say, just to thank you. If you'd like to give to this ministry, of course, our phone number is toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673. You can go to powerofprophecy.com online and donate over the internet and use your charge card, your PayPal, Discover, MasterCard, Visa, and all that. Of course, if you want a copy of our catalog, ask us for it. We'll send you a copy. If you want a free copy of our newsletter, we'll send that to you. All you have to do is just call us, toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. Our address, if you want to write us, is Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson, P-A-T-T-E-R-S-O-N, Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. We've been here a number of years. Jerry, I was just looking outside my windows here and saw two squirrels. Boy, they're just jumping from tree to tree, pretty as can be. It's a beautiful day here down in Central Texas. Okay. Let's return to our regular program now. I'm talking about the demonic cloud over America. People say, Tex, how did it get this way? We have this Lady Gaga with her dirty music. We have Madonna stripping in front of people. We lead the whole world in pornography. We have people literally that are practicing cannibals. This zombie stuff, these fiendish movies, this Halloween junk, witchcraft. The Bible says witchcraft is as the sin of rebellion. Well, we've got a lot of rebellious people in America. The pop culture with its fantasy games. Abortion. We lead the world in abortion, murder of the preborn. Recently, some kids were talking to me about how the goth, G-O-T-H, kids at their school go to cemeteries and have sex, laying on the graves. First of all, they're teenagers. They shouldn't be having sex. And they go to cemeteries. They have no respect for the dead. They have no respect for their own bodies. The Bible says, all those who hate me love death. That's what it says in the Old Testament. They love death. Young boy in Austin, Texas, killed his sister and his mother. They asked him why. He said, I just wanted to see what it would feel like to kill him. Come from a beautiful brick home. Lovely, affluent. Then just this morning, I saw on the news a young 13-year-old boy killed both of his grandparents, shot him to death. Mind drugs, everything from Ritalin and Prozac to Ambien, Xanax, marijuana, ecstasy, salvia, eating up the minds of our people here in America. And through homosexuality, the Bible says you literally are turned over to a reprobate mind. You can't think straight. You're a devious, filthy, dirty person through your homosexual acts. Satanism everywhere across America. Secret societies. Our esteemed leaders
attending the Bohemian Grove, the Skull and Bones, the Bilderbergers, the Masonic Lodges. People are writing to me, Tex, do you think the world's going to end December 21st? You know, the ancient Mayan calendar said so. Shut up! The ancient Mayan calendar, who cares about that? Those were filthy heathen, the Indians who built pyramids and sacrificed tens of thousands of human beings to their sun god. They worshiped death. And you think I'm going to worry about their prophecies? Get real, folks. I'll be here December 22nd. If you'd like to sign all your property over to this ministry because you think the world's ending December 21st, I'll be glad to take it. And then I'll use it for the glory of God the very next day. Believe me, you will still be here December 22nd. The world's not going to end. And let me tell you where all those Mayan hell raisers are today. They're in hell. They didn't raise hell. They went down into it. I was flipping channels the other day, and there was this Dr. Phil. You know, Oprah Winfrey made him famous. She's a big New Age lesbian. And there was Dr. Phil, and he had some guy on supposedly talking with the dead, answering people's questions from the audience. I think his name was John Edwards. Folks, the Bible clearly says those are just demon spirits, if they're not just a hoax. Deuteronomy 18, read it for yourself. Spirit channeling, necromancy, mediumism, spiritualism. These practices are rampant throughout America. Dr. Phil is the best known, you might say, counselor or whatever in America today. And there he's got on this guy who supposedly is speaking with the dead. I'm telling you, friends, you're not going to be speaking with the dead. And if you do, you will live to regret it. I promise you that. Now, why are all these things happening? Why is America so mixed up? Why have we reached the depths of the cesspool here in America? I want to propose several things to you. Of course we've forgotten God, as Solzhenitsyn once wrote. Of course we've forgotten God, and that's the root of our problem. But let me tell you something, friends. We have not divided evil from good. The Bible says in Amos chapter 3, verse 3, can two walk together less or except they be agreed? You can't walk with the devil unless you agree with him. You can't do it. And I believe we have been given dark, blackened hearts. And that's why we're walking with the devil. You can't say I'm a Christian and sup with the devil. Someone once told me if you ever invited to supper with the devil, when they bring out the first cup of soup, make sure you have a long spoon. Well, I don't think that's going to keep you away from the devil having a long spoon when you're drinking his soup. Let me tell you something, friends. It's too late then. When you're invited to sup with the devil. Now, I got a letter from a precious Christian sister not too long ago. She told me that there's a book out by a guy named John McTernan that suggests that if we don't bless Israel, then we're not blessed. And this John McTernan, bless his heart, says that if we don't give Israel everything they want in the way of money, military armaments, military support, diplomatic support, then God won't bless us. Now, and she asked me, was this true? She said, look at all the hurricanes we've been having, the catastrophic natural events that have occurred, disasters, a judgment. These are Katrina and all the others. These are judgments from God. Is it because we're not pro-Israel enough, she asked? Huh? Now, folks, let me explain something here to you. This John McTernan says that we've got to do everything Israel wants. Give them everything they want. Give them all the money. Give them all the land over there. Give them military help. And if we don't, God will not reward us. He will not bless us. Now, let me explain something. I wrote back this dear Christian sister, and I told her this. I said, as you know, Israel became a modern nation in 1948. Now, think of all the blessings, and folks, and I want you to think about this, given Israel prior to that date. 1948. Go back and study that. We had the richest nation on earth, as if material goods meant anything. We had prayer in schools. We had no abortion. It was illegal. We didn't have the big bloated homosexual movement we've got today. We didn't have the filthy profanity and language on every street corner. We didn't have any drugs. I mean, I never even imagined when I was in high school, a kid taking marijuana or cocaine or methamphetamine. It was unheard of. We had very few prisons. Divorces were very few. Churches had high attendance. We were respected in the whole world as a nation. And then 1948 came. Now, as I document in my book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, Zionist Jews bribed our president, Harry Truman, with millions of dollars so that he would recognize Israel as a nation. Israel would never have become a modern nation if it had not been for the United States. We teamed up with the communist, Stalin, and within minutes of each other, Stalin and Harry Truman both recognized the nation of Israel. But we refused to recognize Palestine so that the Palestinians had all their land, all of their businesses, all of their orchards and farms, everything stolen by the Jews. And if they protested, they were suppressed, oppressed, murdered. And we approved this horrible genocide going on against the Palestinians committed by Israel. In other words, we were the cohorts. We were the helpers. We're the ones that made it possible for tens of thousands of Palestinians to be put to death and kicked out of their homes and forced to live in tent cities as refugees, starving, living in those tents. We did it. We helped Israel. Can two walk together lest they be agreed? We walked together with Israel since 1948. Now listen to me, friends. In 1948, Israel had a war with the other nations because of what they were doing to the Palestinians, the Arab nations. They would have been sucked up and defeated if it had not been for American arms helping them. And in 1967, the same thing occurred. In 1967, the Egyptian army and the other Arab armies had the Israelis totally surrounded. It was about to be the end of Israel, and our president came to the aid in 67. Excuse me, let me go back. That was 1973. I want to make sure I have my figures right here. It was in 1967 that Israel attacked, unprovoked, its neighbors. And that was the same era that the Israelis attacked the American ship, the USS Liberty, and killed so many of our naval personnel and got away with it. And they wanted to blame it on the Egyptians to make it look like it was the Arab. Then in 1973, when President Nixon was in office, he and Kissinger saved Israel from total disaster. In other words, America, time after time, has gone to Israel's defense against the Arabs and saved the Jews from total military defeat. Not only that, over the years since 1948, we have given Israel over $1 trillion in free aid money. We've built Israel into one of the world's supreme military powers. They've got over 300 to 400 nuclear bombs, thanks to America. If it were not for America, Israel would lose vote after vote in the United Nations. Every time something comes up to identify Israel as a rogue nation, we veto it and help them. Do you realize we are the number one nation in the world that helps Israel? So has America been blessed since 1948? Ask yourself that question. If it's true that if you bless Israel, God will bless you, what has happened since 1948? America has been punished severely. Our kids are being killed in gangs. We've had racial divisions. Folks, get real. Look in the mirror. This is a filthy, dirty, perverted, homosexual nation, and 50 million young babies have been killed through abortion. And you're telling me that because America has helped Israel since 1948, God is blessing us? Some of you would say, but I drive a big car. I have an HD big screen TV. Hey, Tex, I got an iPhone. I'm really blessed. Is that what you say is a blessing? Are your kids saved? Do they know Jesus? Are they going to heaven for eternity? Or are your kids like all the other kids? They watch pornography. They watch dirt. They take drugs. They cheat on their test in school and in college. They're slackers. They don't work. They don't want to work. They want to take handouts from the government. Is that what you call a blessing? Is America being blessed? Has God blessed America? We're the number one protector, funder, and promoter of Israel. Of all the 175 countries in the world, And what has happened to America since 1948? We have gone straight downhill. If anything, God is giving us a message. Talk about Katrina and Hurricane Rita and all the others. God has given us a message. And 9/11 and so many other things. And now we're losing all our freedoms. They have drones watching us. Our telephones are all wiretapped. We have no freedoms anymore. The president has the authority to arrest you this very night, take you away, and kill you without a trial. They can search your home and tear it from pillar to post without a search warrant. There is no Bill of Rights anymore. And our Congress has approved all these things, and the Supreme Court has went along with it. And now we're going to have socialized medicine. And the country has at least 20, probably 35 million illegal aliens. And we brought in Islam and Hinduism and all the other false religions into America. And they're eating up the fabric of our country. My conclusion is this. God is angry with America. We have a demonic cloud hanging over us. A demonic cloud hanging over America because of our support for a demonic nation called Israel. Why is Israel demonic? Get my book, Conspiracy of the Sixth Morning Star. Their holy book, the Talmud, the Jews, the rabbi's holy book, says that Jesus is a blasphemer, burning in a big vat, a fiery vat of excrement in hell forever. They say that Jesus' mother, Mary, was a whore, and that Jesus was a bastard child. This is the kinds of things the rabbis are teaching in their synagogues to their people. And you want to walk with the Jews and hold them by the hand? Can two walk together lest they be agreed? Amos 3:3, you agree with them. Now, friends, I want you to understand something. That's why we have this homosexuality. That's why we have such filth and dirt on our TV screens in these video games. That's why we have cannibalism and fiendish movies. That's why we have witchcraft and Satanism rampant everywhere. That's why we have drugs and pornographic movies everywhere. A flood of filth and perversion and deviltry and witchcraft like the world has never seen. We have outdone Sodom and Gomorrah, and yet we're the number one protector of Israel in all the world. They wouldn't even be there if it weren't for us. And listen to me, you people out there who think you're the good Samaritans because you support Israel. Let me tell you something. The Palestinians have fallen and been beaten up and thrown in the ditch. And you walk by and you will not help them. Why? Because you say, we only help the Israelis. We only help the Jews. God will bless us. As far as you Palestinians and Arabs, you need just to die and go away. I get Christians all the time writing me and say it would be better for us to use nuclear bombs and just blow Iran off the map. Oh yeah, 70 million people in Iran who need Jesus. Why don't we just blow them off the map? Is that what you want? No wonder we're not being blessed by God. You want to have 70 million souls sent to hell with their bodies being blown apart by American nuclear bombs. You're a monster. Don't call yourself a good Samaritan. We have Christians out there that sent $100, $200 to the Haitian fund after they had all the natural horrible events that occurred there. I'm helping Haiti. I'm doing all these things. Meanwhile, they're promoting Middle Eastern wars where America has already murdered upward of 2 million people through our bombs and tanks and armored vehicles and helicopter gunships. Friends, you can't send money to Haiti on one hand and kill 2 million people in the Middle East on the other hand. You say, well, it's okay, they're Muslims. Wow. They're Muslims. It's for that reason you ought to love them, my friends. Don't you understand? It's for that reason you ought to bring them Jesus, not bombs, not death. What are you thinking, Christian? This is the great falling away. Ron Paul went to one of the debates and he talked about Jesus' golden rule, and the people there in the debate, supposedly conservatives, many of them probably Christians, began to boo and hiss him. They booed and hissed Jesus' golden rule, doing to others. That's why God is not blessing America. Don't tell me God has blessed America because you're driving around in a big new car or you have a new home or you got a fat cat job. That's not a blessing. That could be a plague. That could be a curse. There are people living in huts and in shacks across this world that are more happy than Americans. Do you realize that we only have, I mean, how many of all the people in the world, we probably only have about 1 or 2%. But did you know Americans take 64% of the mind drugs? Xanax and all these others. 64% of all the world's pharmaceutical drugs because of all of our problems. We have bipolar disorders. We have schizophrenia. We have all these problems. We have depression. I mean, there must be 50 million Americans who are depressed at any given time, taking prescriptions for it. Why are you depressed, American? Why do you have bipolar disorder? Why are you going to the doctor to get sleeping pills? You can't sleep at night. I'll tell you why. You're miserable. You're miserable because you've defied God. You're into witchcraft. You're rebelling against God. And you're blessing a nation called Israel in the Middle East that is a hater of Jesus Christ, a nation which Jesus Christ himself said in the Gospel of Matthew would be left desolate until he returns. But you say, Jesus, go jump in the lake. I'm going to give Israel money. I'm going to give them help. They will not be desolate, like you say, because we, America, will help them. You're defying Jesus. There's only one way to help Israel and the Jews, and that's bring them the gospel. Bring them the good news of the kingdom. Bring them Jesus Christ for their hearts so they'll be changed forever. Then that's blessing Israel. That's how to bless Israel. But no, no. Joel Osteen doesn't do that. Rick Warren won't do that. Billy Graham doesn't do that. Billy Graham refused to preach to the Jews. The Pope says they have their own faith. Yes, the devil. They worship the devil. And you know what, friends? Many of you out there, you agree with them. You write me letters all the time. I'm blessing the Jews. We need to bless the Jews. But you're not giving them Jesus. You're sending them money. You're helping them to kill. You're sending them arms, military aid. They're a rich nation. You visit Israel. Bikini girls out on the beach. There's more gay men and lesbians in Israel per capita than there are in San Francisco. And you're making it possible, many of you. Will God bless America under these circumstances? Absolutely not. There's a demonic cloud hanging over America. And that cloud is getting thicker and thicker. We can't see through it. The Bible prophesies this will occur. 200 million devils will come from the east in the last days. Because God will release the four angels bound up in the river Euphrates. And now we're right there at the river Euphrates. Our troops are there in ancient Babylon. We've conquered Iraq. And I think those four angels, dark angels that were bound up in the river Euphrates, read Revelation and see for yourself. Four angels that were bound up are loosed in the last days, and 200 million devils come forth from the east. And I think many of them are here and they're possessing human souls. And the great falling away is at hand. And Paul, the apostle, said things will grow worse and worse until the end comes. Folks, Jesus is the only path to love, to happiness, contentment. If you want to bless anyone, give them Jesus. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy today. It's been wonderful being with you, being able to have the opportunity to preach the truth. Thank you again for all of your love gifts to this ministry. I love getting letters and emails from you. I read each and every one of them. If you have prayer needs, let us know. We want to pray for you. It's a privilege that you give us by letting us know of your needs. Until next week, my friends, I say tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.